Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 38. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is Lord and Savior of all, dear fellow redeemed, all three scripture lessons this morning show to us the Epiphany theme, and that is, Jesus the Christ is both true God and true man, the Savior of all people. In our Old Testament reading this morning, we heard a clear prophecy of the Messiah, the chosen one in whom God delights. And we're told that he conducted his ministry not just for the Jews only, but for the nations, the coastlands, as a light to the Gentiles. In our gospel reading, we heard about Jesus being baptized, and we see him clearly as Emmanuel, God with us, God in human flesh and blood, being baptized for us, fulfilling all righteousness, redeeming us, identifying himself with sinners whom he saved. And now in our sermon text, we see this Epiphany theme being put into practice as Peter takes this gospel message of Jesus to a Gentile centurion named Cornelius. Most of us here this morning know the background to this story. 2 weeks ago in our Sunday morning Bible class on Galatians, we read the story of Peter and that great white sheet that came down. It was around noon. Peter was up on the rooftop. He was praying, waiting for his lunch, and he fell into a trance. And he saw this big sheet come down from heaven, filled with all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. The sheet came down before him. And then a voice from heaven said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Do you remember how Peter responded? What did he say? Anybody?
No way.
He said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And then the voice from heaven, God, said, "What God has called, you must not call common." And she disappeared. And he did a second time. The same words again. Peter said the same thing. And God said the same thing. And disappeared. A third time, the same words again. And Peter said the same thing. And God said the same thing. And it disappeared a third time. You know, Peter is sitting there pondering, what does all this mean? God spoke to him again, and he said, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This vision and God's word taught Peter that one should no longer live under the Old Testament rules and regulations, that Jesus Christ had come to fulfill all the ceremonies, all the precepts, all the rules, all the regulations of the Old Testament, so they all have been set aside, no longer needed to be kept. And having learned this, Peter then, when those men knocked on his door and said, come to Cornelius, the centurion, he went with them. And he entered into the centurion's house, which was forbidden according to Old Testament regulation, and he tells Cornelius and his family these words: "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man, like me, to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? And then Cornelius the centurion said, a couple days ago I was praying, and an angel appeared to me and said, send men to Joppa and ask for Peter to come to you and to tell you more about Jesus. And then Cornelius said, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Cornelius and his family were now ready for Peter to proclaim the word of God to them. And Peter, his words from our text this morning, clearly show to us our theme this morning. Jesus is Lord of all. First, Peter's point is, Jesus' invitation of grace is offered to all people. He says in verse 1, in our first verse of our text, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Peter learned that God does not show favoritism. God can't be bribed. God, I'll really be good if you do this for me. I'll give more offerings if you do this for me, or somehow do something to make God feel more favorable towards us. He does not deal with people according to their nationality or their color or their race or whether they do certain things. But that's what the Jews believed. The Jews believed, and they prided themselves in the fact that they were Abraham's descendants. They were God's chosen people. And therefore, as descendants of Abraham, they had a certain favoritism with God. God accepted them because of that. They also believed that by keeping these Old Testament regulations, they were stood in favor with God and were accepted by him. But the Bible is very clear. God's concerned with one thing and one thing only. And that's your heart. The heart of the individual. And what does God see in the heart of the individual? By nature? Nothing but sin and death. Everyone's heart is totally corrupt. Dead in sins. Human beings are enemies of God because of their transgressions. Mankind is the object of God's wrath and condemnation. No one can do anything that would make God either feel sorry for us or make us more acceptable to him. And that includes you. And that includes me. What can you or I ever do to make us more acceptable to God? Our heart, our minds are filled with sinful thoughts, sinful desires. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve God's condemnation, separation from him forever. But then how can Peter say in the very next line, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. That sounds pretty work righteous to me. Well, the Bible clearly shows that only the grace of God in Jesus can make one acceptable to God. To fear God and work righteousness is the work of God in us, not a work by us. You see, God accepts those who've had the Holy Spirit work in their hearts. Work in our hearts godly sorrow over our sins. Work in our hearts acknowledgement that we are lost and condemned sinners. Work in our hearts a faith to believe that Jesus is the only one who came to take my place and your place and live a perfectly obedient life. Work in our hearts a faith to trust that Jesus' death and damnation on the cross paid for my guilt and my sins. Work in our hearts a belief that Jesus rose from the dead to assure me of a resurrection to everlasting life. Work in our hearts the belief that someday we will all rise and live in heaven forever. Only faith in Jesus Christ does one have sins removed so we can stand before our Father accepted in his sight. That saving faith then motivates us to bring forth fruits of faith. By believing in Jesus Christ, we want to shun sin. We don't want to follow the way of our sinful flesh. We want to live for Jesus and work righteousness. That's simply the natural response of a believer in Christ out of thanksgiving and love for all that Jesus has done for us, for his grace. And Peter is saying to Cornelius, this invitation of grace, that's offered not just to the Jews, that's offered to you too, Cornelius, and to your family. Thankfully, to us Gentiles as well. Peter's second point. Jesus has earned peace with God for all. Cornelius and his family knew about the Jehovah God. They knew about the coming Messiah. They were Gentile converts who knew something about Jesus as well, because what does Peter say here? He says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know. They knew it too. So Cornelius must have been studying the Old Testament scriptures and knew about the promised Messiah. They probably had heard about the miracles of Jesus and maybe his preaching, but we don't know how much they knew about Jesus. And that's why Peter, after the words of our text, goes on to speak to Cornelius, and he says these things. And we are witnesses of all things which he, Jesus, did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And there it is. The simple gospel. The gospel of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for all people. That's why Cornelius and his family could also receive with joy that peace with God. Even though they weren't Jews, even though they weren't circumcised, even though they didn't keep the Sabbath laws and all those other ceremonies and rituals and rites of the Old Testament. So you see why this text is a very important Epiphany text? Do you see why this text should be treasured by you and me, Gentiles? This text, because we weren't one of God's people either. We're not Jews of a chosen nation, but we've been made people of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We too heard that peace announced by the angels at Jesus' birth. It's a peace between the righteous God, perfect and holy, and us sinners. And Jesus is the one mediator that brought that about. Through his vicarious work, through his perfect life in our place, through his sacrificial substitutionary death on the cross, through his resurrection from the dead, he's brought this peace, this oneness that we have now with our Heavenly Father. And so Peter is saying, the warfare is over, the victory's won, that big wall, that barrier of sin has been torn down, removed forever, the debt has been paid in full, all of our iniquity has been washed away, in Christ we've been declared not guilty, been reconciled to God, and that's why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And finally, Peter told Cornelius, and he tells us, Jesus wants his life to be imitated by all. Peter said, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Evidently, Cornelius and his family also knew about John the Baptist and his message of repentance. And they knew about Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River. Peter showed them that Jesus willingly went to serve all people. He was baptized for all people, not just the Jews. and he came to save all of mankind. His desire was to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill God's plan of salvation perfectly for everybody. We're told at his baptism, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. That was absolutely necessary because even though Jesus was true God, he also was true man born of the woman. And he emptied himself of his godly powers. And so the Holy Spirit was anointed upon Jesus Christ with the power of the Word so that he could withstand all of Satan's temptations, keep every one of God's commandments perfectly for us. And as Peter says, doing good and healing all those who are oppressed by the devil by casting him out of their hearts. Jesus is Lord of all. What does that mean? It means Jesus is your Lord, your master, your ruler, and he's also mine. Just as the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus through the Word to live that perfect life, to go about doing good and redeeming those who were oppressed by Satan, so the Holy Spirit works in your heart and mine. Not perfection, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacraments, he's not only created faith in our hearts to trust in Jesus, to believe Jesus is the only way to salvation, he gives us the ability to tell others who are oppressed by Satan, to tell others who are enslaved by Satan, that Jesus has died for them too. And by doing that, we set them free through the power of the Spirit, free from those slaves of bondage, free from Satan's control, free to live for Christ. Jesus Christ is our Epiphany peace. May we show that in our life. May we show that in our actions as we pass on to others this good news of the peace that we have through Jesus, the Christ, our Epiphany Lord. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Epiphany Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.